know what? It's getting too hot. Maybe I'll take my boxers off. I mean, God knows I could use a little tan on my butt and penis.
God knows.
God knows.
God knows.
Hi, welcome to Chapter 6 of Misadventures. This one is going to be a little different. My name is Dylan. I don't have Jesus here today. Actually, I have two others here, though, who you're going to be familiar with from past pods. I have Carlos and Cameron, who are both on this trip. You'll notice that we're not continuing with Volume 2 of Chapter 5. We'll make sure to touch back a little later, but we have a truth in our hearts that desperately needs to be freed. So we're going to do our best to free that. And we also have a few people that went on this particular trip but weren't there. Again, they have signed over the rights for us to speak for them. They believe that the words that we have really speak what they want to say. So we're going to use that liberty to, it's basically a power of attorney. We're them. So we're going to go ahead and start with chapter 6 here. So the first chapter 6, it wasn't a regular outing. And this was honestly only about a month ago. It's much more recent than the other things we've talked about. Chapter 6 was my bachelor party. My bachelor party happened because I'm getting married tomorrow.
Brag about it.
So, to go in, we're going to have to go with the planning of it. The person who initially started planning it was your co-host, Jesus. He's not here. And the thing is, saying that he planned it is pretty generous. I was added to the chat a little later. And as an outsider, what I saw is, hey, should we go to Yosemite or Vegas? And then a bunch of people said, oh, Vegas is pretty close, sounds fun. Some people said I'm down for whatever. Then he said, okay, I decided we're going to go to Red Breaks.
Wild card.
Yeah. You two were probably both in that chat at the
time. I wasn't at first.
Cameron wasn't at first.
But I was, yeah.
Because I'm not on the line. I'm not officially a part of the wedding party.
Hey, this is tomorrow's the wedding.
I love this dead space between
tomorrow's the wedding. This is the party. This is the wedding party.
But that's, about it.
That's basically what the chat looked like. Carlos, do you remember very much planning beforehand?
So the quote unquote planning was, as Dylan mentioned, hey, do you guys want to do something outdoors? Do you want to go climbing, hiking, or do we want to go to Vegas? And it seemed pretty split. There were a couple people who wanted to go to Vegas. Other people didn't really say anything. They just said, hey, we'd be down for anything. And Jesus was like, all right, well, that's not an answer, but thanks. So again, he eventually decided by himself that we would go to Red Breaks. And everyone was on board. They were fine. And then after Dylan was added, and when Dylan was added, he had mentioned that he's glad that we ended up choosing Red Breaks, because honestly, Vegas probably would have been a lot worse, and this would have been a much darker podcast. Someone probably would have died if we went to Vegas. Like, it literally would have been The Hangover 4, and Jesus would have killed someone. I don't want to say terrible. As unfortunate as the adventure was, it's probably better that we did not go to Vegas.
Yeah, I think it's good to mention right away that no one died. So this
close
win.
Calls.
Yeah,
close calls.
Yeah, there were a few things where maybe people wanted to, but for the most part, we all made it out unscathed. The thing is, what Carlos just described for the planning, that was literally the extent of the planning. I got added to the conversation. No one knew what kind of food was going to be eaten. No one had the instructions.
We didn't have the date.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he decided where we were going to go. We asked for when we were going to go, and he was like, well, I'll figure it out.
We have, like, everyone needs to get off work. Carlos needs to be able to fly in from California. Like, there are so many arrangements that need to be made for this to happen correctly. And it didn't happen until maybe eventually.
Like a couple weeks, 2 or 3 weeks out.
Yeah,
was when the actual date was given. Cameron just mentioned it was a tentative date. I did not know that, right? So I thought it was the hard actual date. So I requested time off and booked my ticket. And then what? Maybe a week prior, Jesus was like, "Hey, can we do it the weekend after I said?"
It wasn't even that, because someone in the chat was like, "So what are we doing this?" Because I just heard we're doing it a week later, and Jesus was like, "Oh yeah, does anybody mind if we move it a week later?"
I was literally I was with him at the time. We were out climbing at a nearby cliff, and then Jesus goes, "Oh shit, I think I booked the bachelor party for the wrong date." and then I was like, what the fuck do you mean? And he's like, "Well, I set a different date and now everyone's mad at me." I check my phone and I have like 3 texts from Dave, who's not here right now, about like, "Dude, you gotta tell Jesus. Dude, I already got the days off. Dude, Jesus is fucking everything up."
Dave would be here right now, but he texted and said he was drunk in Ogden.
Yeah.
Drunk AF.
Yeah, that's true. And I texted him earlier, and he's like, "All I'll do is talk shit on Jesus for 2 hours."
That's pretty much what this podcast is going to be.
That's what we're doing anyway. But that's how the day, and I told him, I was like, "Carlos got his ticket, everyone has a day off. You're the one person. I understand you're the best man, but you need to get this day off." And I guess he was able to a certain extent. He needed to work like the next Sunday. So
1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, exactly. It was 1 o'clock, but still he needed to work on Sunday. So he was still, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't think he got any days off for it.
He didn't. He's off Friday and Saturday.
Yeah. Okay, so he didn't make any arrangements.
He catered your bachelor party to his own schedule.
Yeah. He just made sure everything fit his schedule. So that's how the planning went. And then they added me to the group, and I start making sure we have the coordinates. I start making sure we know what food we're going to eat each night. I start making sure I know how many cars we have, who's going to leave when, who has work which day. That happens over the course of about a week. We get everything figured out. There's a certain number of people. Actually, every single person has been in a past podcast. Me, Carlos, Jordan, Dave, and Jesus are all riding in his Jeep. So Jesus says, "Okay, guys, meet me at my place at 9:45.
This, before Dylan continues, this is the first of many blunders that Jesus made, and it was literally the beginning of the day, like at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So continue.
Yeah, 9:45. So meet me at my place at 9:45. We're gonna be ready to go. At first, he's trying to show off and say like, "I'll leave at 5 a.m. I don't care." But then he chooses 9:45, so we say, "Okay, he's being more realistic now. We'll still get there with plenty of time." The night before we leave, Jesus texts me and says, "Hey, I'm getting my oil changed tomorrow morning before we leave. I need you to pick me up from there and take me to my parents to get a few things and then drop me off at my Jeep so we can leave." I think, okay, getting your oil changed the day we're leaving, maybe you could have done it yesterday, today, maybe you could have done it a week ago, but that's fine. I guess you're willing to get it changed beforehand. That's good.
So the reason Jesus ended up getting it the day of the departure was he was literally confused on his days. So when he scheduled the appointment, he scheduled the day prior, so he scheduled it on Thursday for the next day, but he thought it was Wednesday. So he thought it was going to be Thursday when he was going to get his oil changed, which would be the day prior, which would have been fine. But he thought, since the day he was living was Wednesday, that he was good. But it was actually a Thursday, and he scheduled it for a Friday.
So, and I think this is a really good time to mention that I recommend everyone use the great product out there called iCalendar.
Or just a calendar in general.
Yeah. Literally just look at the date. Yeah.
If you have a watch, maybe look at that.
Any calendar out there who might want to represent us or who might want us to represent them, We'll do it.
Hallmark, we're talking to you.
Yeah, yeah. Most of us, we could access a calendar, and if you could send us a free one for Jesus, that'd be so good. We would really rep that hard, and Jesus would probably do things on the correct date.
Teach him how to read it and everything.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be great. So, first mistake, know what day of the week it is.
It's essential when you're planning a trip. So, people are literally flying in from out of state. Have your dates down.
So I go to pick up Jesus. It's like, I don't know, 8 o'clock. The thing is I got up early. I went to the gym right when they opened. I left the gym a little early to pick up Jesus because he thought he needed to get stuff done now. We go, I get him, we go to the grocery store, buy everything we need for the trip, and think, okay, his car's been there for about an hour and a half, oil should be changed. So he calls or texts, I can't remember which, the shop, and they say, oh, you had a bunch of recalls that needed to be done on your Jeep, so we're about halfway through those. And he starts freaking out, because apparently they asked him about it, and he said no, but they did it anyway. But I mean, this is just a certain thing you might run into if you decide to get your oil changed the day you need to go on a very long trip.
And recalls, I mean, my car's had a few. They send you like a full page letter in the mail saying, get this shit in. Like,
yeah, I get one like probably every other week for a couple of years. They say if I get in a crash, maybe my airbag will kill me. So Honda Accord, if you want to sponsor me. So far, I haven't gotten it done.
You're really great at grabbing sponsors. Yeah. Okay, your product is terrible. You want to help me out?
I might die using it, but I'm still using it.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is, as long as you like pay for it, in the end, if it killed you, I don't have anything good to say about that.
Created value for shareholders.
Yeah, yeah. So you got to remember, it was 9:45 when we were supposed to meet at Jesus's. Eventually, I leave Jesus. I go and I get lunch. Jordan and Carlos are supposed to meet there as well at Jesus's. We keep texting back and forth. Jordan has enough time to take a nap and read a small book before we meet. We all get to Jesus's and pack everything, and we leave at 1 o'clock. 9:45, 1 o'clock. 9:45, 1 o'clock. This is over a 3-hour difference to where I don't know what they're doing in his Jeep, but he must have a slew of recalls that need to be done. I have no idea what they were doing, and I have no idea why he decided to get it done that day. But we don't leave until 1. And at that point, all of us are pissed. Because we all woke up earlier. We all got ready the night before or that morning to go. We made all these things so that we were ready to go, and we had a certain idea in our head of what this trip was going to look like. We were going to get there maybe around 4, 5 o'clock, a little earlier. We're going to set up camp. Cameron over here and Kyler, we're going to get there later around 9.
The caveat is this was great for me because I didn't take any time off work. I was at work getting text messages from every... I was in the group chats, and I just saw it was a shit show, and I was like, this is great.
So really, I don't know why we're complaining, because everything went well for Cameron.
Yeah,
so.
I had a good day. Yes. It was hilarious to listen.
He's
to
like seeing everything, everyone complain and everyone be pissed. He's like, everything's coming up, Cameron.
I was slightly worried when it got to about 1 o'clock and you guys still hadn't left. I was like, if I leave before then, I don't know where I'm going. Because I didn't get off work till 2:30, and then I waited till like 4 for Kyler to get off.
Like, we were going to leave at 9:45 in the morning, and we left so late that people who weren't going to leave until 4 were like, fuck, they might not leave before.
It's a legitimate concern. I was like, man.
It was bad. So eventually, though, we all get in the Jeep and we leave. My cousin, Tanner, just Tanner and Kyler, the only two who haven't been on this podcast, but... he follows us with Dave, and we start making our way down there. For the most part, it's pretty good. It's a longer trip than most, 5-6 hours to get down to Red Breaks. We've done the Red Breaks episode with Dave, Jordan, and Jesus, So you've heard about the canyon. We thought we knew exactly what we were in for as we went out. And eventually we got to a point that we were actually prepared for, which is where you get to about within half an hour or an hour within the camp spot, and it gets very rocky. It gets very dusty, and okay, this is another part where the Jeep comes into play.
Dylan mentions dusty, right? Now, the Jeep doesn't have a back window. I'm not sure what the story is. It broke, and Jesus just hasn't gotten around to putting a window back on it.
It's been a very long time, over a year.
Oh, yeah. I went to Zion's with him in the rain, and I was sitting in the back. And I was like, is this not a priority?
So we get on this dusty road, this dirt road, and we're still a ways away. Like, this dirt road goes on for a while. So while we're driving, I'm in the back, right? And we're driving. Basically, by the time we get there, I am covered by a layer of 3 pounds of sand and dirt. I could not open my eyes the entire time we were driving. Could not open my mouth, because otherwise I would just inhale dirt, which I was doing anyways, because obviously I had to breathe. So that was a good, fun, like, 20, 30 minute
drive. It was so bad. I was in the passenger seat, and still it was getting me. And I took off my sunglasses at one point, and they were just crusted with sand all over the inside. And eventually, at one point, we got out of the vehicle. And I look at Carlos, and he is just in a straight, like, he looks like he's frosted with sand. Like, it was on purpose. Like, his hair no longer is black, but it's like this reddish brown from the sand that's flying everywhere. Jesus's Jeep is covered in sand. He doesn't care. He's just having a good time laughing. That's okay, I guess. He doesn't care his Jeep's covered in sand, but we care that we're breathing it in. Eventually, we get to the general area we need to be at. We know it looks pretty similar to where we were before when we did red brakes. So we drive up to the coordinates where it ends, to where it says the camp spot is going to be. And it is nothing like what we did in the first place. So, first Red Breaks episode, we mentioned how great our camping spot is. We were up against this beautiful wall. This was not the case with where we ended up now. We used the same exact website, but something happened. I don't know what, but something got fucked up, and we ended up in a different spot. The same area, still surrounded by a few slot canyons, but not where we wanted to be. So we start backtracking. We're driving back and forth on these dusty, bumpy roads that, you know, are very rough for most cars to go over. We're getting out. We're checking the coordinates. We're walking up and down different things to try to figure out where we are and where we were before. We're not able to find it. We try to get a game plan. This whole time, because we left at 1 fucking clock instead of 9:45, the sun starts going down. And that's when we start getting worried, like, we need to set up camp before Cameron and Kyler get here. We need to make sure we know what we're doing tomorrow. We realize even if we find the slot canyon that we were in before, we don't have the exact coordinates for it. Carlos points out that we really just need to do what we came here prepared to do, which is the instructions we have with the coordinates we have.
Yeah, so apparently whoever runs the website just updated the coordinates, and it was a different trailhead than what they had first done on their first Red Breaks visit. After, like, we literally went through Facebook pictures and tried to find out if we could see any, like, anything in the pictures that looked familiar or anything in the pictures we could identify. And eventually we find out what the name of the trailhead was. So we looked the trailhead up. And it was about 45-hour backtrack.
Not 45 hours.
No, 45.
Across the United States.
45 minutes to an hour backtrack.
Yeah, and it's like pretty close. It's maybe 5 miles away, but it's this long horseshoe shape.
Yeah.
So it's pretty far, and we would obviously need to drive it. We're not just going to walk 5 hours across, or 5 miles across the desert. And we figure out
distances.
We figure out where we were supposed to be, and just it's not gonna happen. And the thing is, even if we did get there, like Carlos pointed out, when while we were out there, we have the instructions and coordinates for one specific canyon. Even if it was updated, that's what we have. So that's what we need to do. So we're ready to get out. We start moving a little bit. We have Jesus' Jeep and Tanner's 4Runner. Then we all get out of our cars and we start hearing a hissing sound.
So the hissing sound is coming out of Tanner's 4Runner. And it turns out that he drove over something because his tire is losing air. Now, normally, you would think, okay, you're going to get a flat tire. You know what? No big deal. You probably have a spare or a donut. You have the things in your car to replace said tire. So we asked Tanner if he has a spare. He says yes. It's under one of the tires that are located under the car. He opens the back of his car to try and find the equipment he needs to get the tire out, because it's the little crank you need to have so that you can crank the tire down, because it's on a little metal rope, I guess, for lack of a better word. Turns out that he didn't have that equipment in his car, which was strange because, as most cars have now, specific compartments to where this thing goes. So we come to realize that Tanner or someone actually had to have opened this compartment where the jack and this crankshaft was, remove it from his car, and then say, yeah, that was a good idea.
I think he actually said he took it off out of his car. It's like, dude, where is this? This is where it's supposed to be. Oh shit, I took it out. Why? Like, this is the one, this is, you see this area that's shaped exactly like this tool? What the fuck would you put there aside from that tool? It just made no sense, but he did it. We're there in the middle of, you know, kind of Escalante area-ish. We realize, like, we don't have any choice. We need to get his tire down somehow. We look at a few tools Jesus has. We look at a few things available. We're not going to be able to move the tire down. So what do we need? We need the cable out of the way. The only way to get the cable out of the way is going to be to cut it. That's going to take some time. And we also need a jack. The jack is all the way below everything in Jesus' Jeep that's packed. We have to take everything packed out of the back of his Jeep. People start working on that. A few of us crack open a few beers. If we're going to hang out, we're at least going to drink a little bit while we wait. And they start dealing with that. It takes a lot of people because when you cut this cable, the tire falls right down. And you don't want a giant tire meant for a 4Runner to fall on you. So there's three or four people under the 4Runner slashing at this cable for maybe 30 minutes. A few of us are just walking around drinking beers because everyone doesn't have a job. Eventually, they get the tire down, the cable's cut, and at that point, we realize, okay, it's 8 o'clock, and we have a time frame with Cameron to where if he's not here by 9:30, we need to go back and look for him because that means his car couldn't handle the terrain.
I'm in like a little Chevy Cobalt. It's mm-hmm. got no clearance. It's not meant for off-roading at all. And I've been told this whole time, your car probably won't make it, especially if it's rained anytime recently. Your car is screwed. So the whole time I'm paranoid as hell. Like, I don't know if we're going to make it, Kyler. And like, they're dealing with this the whole time. And me and Kyler are just driving, talking.
Yeah. Yeah. So Cameron's whatever. Car at this point, Cameron just thinks he's straight fucked. Like yeah, when he gets there,
I'm fully prepared to unload the car into Jesus' Jeep and get to the campsite.
Yeah. Like, the point where this happened was right at the trailhead for where the canyon supposedly begins. So we decide, let's camp as close to here as possible. We'll do whatever canyon is listed in these coordinates. We have the GPS. We'll be fine. We drive for a little bit. We find a spot about a mile away from the trailhead. Not too bad. We get all the tents ready to go. We know where the fire is going to be. We built a fire pit. We're really prepared. We're watching the time. It's 9:30. Cameron and Kyler aren't there quite yet. Basically, we set it up to where Cameron and Kyler should be to us by like 9. Yeah. So if they're not there at 9:30, then something must have gone wrong. I guess we never talked about this. Did you guys just leave a little later?
No. We went.
They actually left earlier, didn't they?
We left like pretty much on time. We got down there. We basically got down to the Escalante area. We followed what we thought were the instructions. I think Carlos might have sent them in the group chat.
To backtrack a little.
This is the problem too.
Backtrack a little. When they realized that they weren't in the exact spot as they were previously when they did red breaks. We figured out where they were prior. We figured out those instructions, those coordinates, and I had sent those to Cameron, thinking we were going to go there,
It was rough.
But obviously, we didn't end up going there, so I tried to call him many times.
That's the thing. You go off the beaten trail. Well, I mean, we're already in like a...
Service was weird. It was we have full bars, and we couldn't do shit.
So we were kind of following the instructions that Carlos said, because we had signal before we went off-road, and we were on this... I mean, it was pretty bad on both campsites, but...
You're probably going to go to where we were. It's so shitty.
Yeah, we probably were. And, like, we were driving on that road for, I think, 30 minutes. And I was just like, I swear to God, we got to get there soon. Yeah. We kept, like, stopping because, cars were coming the opposite way. And he's like, that's got to be Jesus. And then finally, I was just like, we've been on this road for 30 minutes. We're not seeing anything. The instructions aren't that clear. So we stopped and we tried to call people. I think we kind of got in touch with you guys a couple times, but it dropped.
Yeah.
We were getting texts like, call me, or like, it sounded more urgent than it probably was. But I was like, fuck, I think we went down the wrong road. So we drove 30 minutes back, and like, that beat the shit out of my car. Like, I was worried the whole time, like, something's going to come loose and we're going to be stranded and nobody, like, we can't even get a hold of anybody. I was pretty, it was weird because out there was a wedding reception happening, I think. There's a sign on the side of the road. There's like somebody and somebody
parked here. It reminds me of me getting married tomorrow.
It's a theme. I'm reinforcing a theme, Dylan. So yeah, we kind of got in touch, and I think Dylan sent a text that was like, go back to the beginning or something.
Yeah, it was like an all caps.
I was like, oh shit, we fucked up.
So here we have, at this point, all three of us who are here are in three different places. Cameron is in his car doing Lord knows what.
We're just off on our own little adventure.
Dylan and Jesus decide they're going to be the ones to go and find Cameron, and I stay back at the campsite. So you have three different places where people are at, three different parties.
This is like the Lord of the Rings.
And at one point, I don't know who it was that brought it up. Maybe it was David who was asking, should we go search for the search party?
Because we were gone for a long ass time.
They were gone for a really long time, and we had no idea what was happening. My phone's about to die. I can't call anyone. And at that point, I'm just telling everyone, no, let's not get more people lost. We just need to stay put and see how it all plays out.
That was a perfectly fine plan, and it worked out. Yeah, it was probably for the best, because it wouldn't have helped anything, to be honest.
No.
I mean... Because we got in touch with you guys enough from where we were, which was, it was like a Y kind of. There's like the main road and it branched off.
Yeah.
We were on one side of the Y, you guys were on the other. So we had to go all the way back to the main road and like follow the other way. And we got signal enough for one of you guys to drop a pin. And we saw that, and me and Kyler were both like, shit. Like, it was pretty close to where we were at. It was like, I think a couple miles away, but there was no road.
Yeah, there's
so we had to go way back around, like another 5 miles.
There's so few roads out here that literally if you needed to take your car and you needed to get 1 mile in a specific direction, you might need to drive for 40 minutes to get
that
1 mile.
And that's what we did. So we finally got back to the main road, got onto the what we thought was the good dirt shit road. They were both bad. I was very concerned about my car. And at one point, I felt like something, like I heard a noise. And I asked Kyle, I was like, did my hubcap fall off? And he was like, no, you're good, man. And I was like, okay, cool. That must have been just like a rock.
I forgot about that.
Must have been a rock that we hit, and we just kept driving. And so this is, I mean, pretty close to where we rendezvoused.
His hubcap fell off, by the way.
It did. It was lost. Kyler was wrong.
His hubcap fell off. So
that's how bumpy the road was. My hubcap, which was on tight, because I mean, I take care of my it fell off. Like, it was bumpy enough to undo four lug nuts.
So these are these two parties. Carlos and everyone else are back at the campsite. They're wondering if they need to come rescue Jesus and I because they haven't seen us for a while. They decide to hang back. Cameron and Kyler are trying to just get to camp. We've dropped a few pins. They've talked to Jesus and I. They know where to come. So Jesus and I are in his Jeep. I think Jesus just got
Hi, everyone. We Jesus Navarro.
We explain.
Co-host. Okay.
So Jesus and I, we start going down the road. We're a mile or two down, and we eventually stop. Jesus, you haven't... had any part yet in this podcast, so go ahead and explain what it was like and why we stopped and what happened after that.
All right, so one thing I want to point out here is that I did not want to go pick up Cameron and Tyler.
You know what? That's fine. Because you didn't have to.
I actually
basically,
did.
He didn't want to do what he said they would do and go find Cameron if he didn't show up at a specific time.
The problem is that I did assign this task to the one person who has a heavier car and more gas than I do.
Whose tire popped earlier, as we explained.
However, he has a brand new tire. And due to the experience of popping his first tire, I mean, common sense would tell you.
Exactly. What, he's going to know not to run over something that would pop his tire on a dirt road?
He had to have hit a rock fucking perfectly for it to go in the way it did.
But, I mean, that's kind of what happens when you're going 40 miles per hour in the dirt road. So, I mean, this is coming from the guy that's never popped a tire in the desert. But
hey, I'm also a guy that's
and Cameron, who had a sedan that did not pop a tire in the desert.
Again,
anyhow.
Thank you, Chevy.
So, I mean, I asked Tanner to do it twice, but he got too tired to move. He was just in the zone. He was cooking, and, I mean, he was setting up camp. So, whatever, Dylan asked me to do it because it's the bachelor party. I'm the best man. It's like, fuck,
it's only me and Kyler's life. So
yeah,
it's
I feel
fine.
Like I didn't tell you to do it. I was like, we said we would do this. No, so I will go with you. Like, I'm not telling you, like, hey, get your ass out of here. I was like, this needs to be done. And I will literally join you in this task.
You're wearing short shorts, so I don't know. Fuck.
They're not that short.
Those are pretty normal length shorts, just so everyone
knows.
They're jorts, but they're not short shorts.
That's true.
Is just to do, did they tell you we wanted you to not kind of be in this? So you could have a separate episode where you just defend all the shit talking.
I didn't want to go through that.
The first, like, 30 minutes.
I know that I would be pissed off. It's not going to be pretty bad. Anyhow, so Dylan and I do our due diligence and head to the road. It's about 9:45. The difference between my Jeep when we came in and the Jeep when we went out is that my Jeep is actually lighter now. Jeeps have a bad reputation for being lighter on the back, which is not great for snow or anything like that. So because of that, it's a little more shaky when you're going off-road.
Okay,
I know the physics behind this.
Okay.
Anyway, so Dylan and I head to into the darkness.
It's not that dark yet.
It was dark.
It was dark when we left. Yeah.
Spoiler, this is going to be my subtitle. Into the darkness. And
Star Trek movie.
Think of something different before we get to the end.
Okay. And so we head there, and it's fine, whatever. We're just going to hope that he knows where he's going, and Cameron knows where he's going, and find him and just come back and have a beautiful dinner, hang out, take a few shots, and just pass out of drunkenness. It sounds normal.
Beautiful. It sounds beautiful.
And the problem was that about 2.5 miles away from camp, we started hitting this washer road, which is really, really bumpy road. And because of the weight of my Jeep, I assume we were extra shaky when we were going there. Common sense told me, well, you need to slow down. So I start slowing down, the car stalls. So I thought, well, rookie mistake. I kill the car. It's a stick shift. It happens. Not to me, though. But it happened. So I tried to turn it on, and to our surprise, it did not turn on. And we were in the middle of a dark road with no life around us. I immediately look at Dylan. Dylan looks at me, and it's like,
probably
fuck.
Some bugs or something around here.
Yeah, we just look at each other. Jesus tries it 2-3 more times, and nothing is happening. It's not starting. It's, for the most part, the electrical outputs are still working. There's still electricity going throughout the Jeep. We're able to turn on the lights. When he opens the door, the lights come on. but it's just not starting. It's something is going wrong, and we don't know what it is. All we know is that earlier that day, Jesus had his Jeep worked on.
Yep, it had an oil change. Every liquid was stopped on, and so, I mean, it was dark. We had headlamps. I was just wearing my Speedo and a poncho, and it was getting really cold.
Cares for everything.
Yeah, I mean, I had my poncho in the back seat, so I was ready to go. But, no, yeah, we were trying everything. And we were there for about 2 hours or an hour?
No.
No.
40 minutes.
It was not 40 minutes.
It was maybe, we were gone for like what, an hour and a half?
We're gone for, yeah, I would say hour and a half.
Yeah.
Okay. So fucking 30 minutes off.
Yeah. So we're looking under the Jeep. We're crawling under it to see if liquids are dropping. We have no idea what happened. I mean, we came up through this bumpy ass road and it was perfectly fine. We didn't have any problems. So eventually we get to this point and nothing's happening. And we're thinking, okay, we think Cameron and Kyler know where they're going. But honestly, we don't know.
We received a call.
Yeah, yeah, we received a call from them. So do we start walking back? Do we start walking forward towards them? So eventually we decide after a little bit of work that we're going to walk towards them. I think we have one headlamp each. There's a headlamp in the Jeep, and then I think I have mine. So we both put on headlamps and start walking forward. And luckily, we maybe walk 30 feet, and then we see a car coming right towards us, and it's I was combining your names into Kyron. It's Kyler and Cameron looking like fucking gods coming over to us to save our lives.
We felt pretty badass. Honestly.
No, you guys were lost.
You rescued the rescuers.
That's true.
That's true.
It's not a bad thing to happen to the.
So we're back at camp, right? And we're wondering where the hell they are. Wondering if they're dead or not.
Were
wondering
you,
if Cameron's car made it or not. And eventually, we see headlights. So we look at the headlights and like, oh, that has to be them. Who else would be driving out here? That has to be them. Can we tell? Is it a Jeep or not? So we were trying to see if it was Jesus's car, because that's what we were expecting. Turns out it's Cameron's car, and Jesus and Dylan come out, and we're like, oh, shit. What on earth happened in that hour and a half that you were gone?
And so I think we should just recap the whole. They wanted to leave at 9. They didn't leave until like 1:45. Flat tire. I was worried about my car this whole time.
Coordinates are different.
Yeah, coordinates. We didn't even have the right place to go to. They made it to camp. They came back to find me. Their shit broke down. I saved them. We came back to camp. This is just getting there. The trip doesn't even begin.
This is the first day.
We have camp set up. We haven't even been outside for a couple hours.
It was insane.
Yeah.
The whole day was just like, what else could happen that would make this worse off? Like,
oh, just you wait. So we get there eventually, and we tell them what happened. Cameron's Chevy made it, but the Jeep Wrangler died on this road.
The one thing, and I don't know if you mentioned this already, but the one thing, as we were heading there, what did it say? I have a bad feeling about this.
You said that? You were the one who planned it.
No, it was when we were, so as we were leaving camp to go find Cameron and Kyler, it was ominous, because we go off into the dark. It's just me and Jesus.
It's just rattlesnakes, pop tire. I was like, this is bad. Like,
I probably have more bad feelings about it, because this whole time, me and Kyler are on our own. And as far as, like, you guys had sent enough texts that I figured you guys made it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, if we're not going on the right road, it's like 9 o'clock. What the fuck are we going to do if we don't meet up with these guys?
Right.
Like, the only option was to sleep in the car or, like, pull off the side of the road where we could set up our own little tents for the night.
Right. So bad feelings are not necessarily indicative of things going wrong, because Cameron got there perfectly fine in a sedan. We get there.
It's because I'm a Leo.
So we get there, and dinner's ready, which was very nice, at least, after all that bullshit that happened.
It's great for me.
And Jordan has made a fantastic, like, pork chili.
Yeah, and it was delicious.
Man, there's
spicy.
It was
no, it
was a little. If you spicy. Had if so, we dropped full jalapenos in there.
Yeah.
If you had one of the jalapenos. It was nice and spicy.
Jesus didn't.
I did not have a jalapeno, but I know it was spicy. Well,
Jesus is not a real Mexican. So.
It's like very big pieces of pork in this very good. It was great chili. It was a very nice thing to have as it's getting darker and colder in the desert, as many things have gone wrong. It's just really heartening. And at this exact moment, when we're not exactly what to do about the Jeep that's dead on the side of the road, at this point, Jesus believes in the morning, everyone just packs up and leaves because his Jeep is dead. So everyone...
Yeah, yeah. Like, Jesus really just abandoned the trip, right then.
He abandoned ship and was like, everyone, we need to go. It's over. We need to get the Jeep fixed. Yeah. And as you can imagine, most of us... kind of had a problem with that.
We're like, there's like fucking 9 of us here and 3 cars. Why would we all leave? Because your Jeep isn't working.
My mindset was, we need to think of getting back because, again, we have a broken-ass Jeep and very limited space.
You know what? Actually, Jesus' mindset was, I need to get back because I need to work on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Or else I get fired.
That was definitely the thing going through. So anyway, Eventually we get a plan. We're in Escalante National Monument, which is right outside the actual city called Escalante. So we decide in the morning, we already have a slot canyon planned. It's not supposed to be too hard. Obviously, at this point, we know it's something different from what we did in the past, but it's still not supposed to be technical. So one group will go out and do the slot canyon. The other group will get Jesus' Jeep back to Escalante and hopefully get it fixed and get it back in time. So at this point, our paths diverge.
United for the evening, yeah. Split up again.
Another right? Lord of the Rings thing again. Yeah.
We're all the Legolas and Gimli.
I'm Gandalf.
You're not Gandalf.
You're just dead.
Yeah. He's like in Two Towers. He sets up the time to look up east.
So if it wasn't, if we hadn't made it necessary. Yeah, that's exactly what you are. Anyways, if we hadn't made it clear in the past hour or so, this podcast is not about the slot canyon itself.
The hiking is secondary.
The slot canyon was really cool. We did it no problem.
Well, we'll have some things to say.
Yeah, well, Cameron will have some things to say.
I suffered.
But the slot canyon itself was fine. The more interesting story is getting there, Jesus trying to get his car fixed, Dylan getting hurt, Cameron complaining over nothing. And then getting back. That's where the real meat and potatoes of this story is.
That's true.
It's in between.
Yeah.
Let's start with my part.
It's the there and back again. So we get
another Lord of the Rings reference.
So Jesus is gonna get up, and what he's gonna have is Tanner needs to actually be back the next night.
So I don't know why he came.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
I don't, yeah.
We get up in the morning. Jesus is going to go, and he's going to get in his Jeep and steer it, while Dave, who rode down with Tanner, is going to ride in Tanner's 4Runner, while Tanner tows Jesus to Escalante to get his shit fixed. Jesus has a makeshift tow rope. It's not an actual tow rope, but it generally does the job. And I was not there at this point, so I'm going to let Jesus be the sole guide. And if there are any outcries, any serious grievances that happen, I'll let Dave and Tanner address them later.
Okay. So, first of all, this is the truth. Okay. Everyone else is wrong. But Saturday, we wake up, we have a game plan. We woke up around 7 a.m. Most of the group was going to go to the canyon. Tanner, who has to go home. And Dave, who was following Tanner, getting, like, his ride. And myself, tow the Jeep. First, Jordan and Tanner and I went to get the Jeep and see if we can get it started, like do a more thorough search on what's wrong with it since it's daylight. I got diarrhea because of the pork. It was too spicy. I couldn't handle it.
Damn, I didn't know this.
It was rough, dude.
Revelations on the pod.
Yeah, it was like right there, like fixing the Jeep. It was like, well, I have to run somewhere.
That's usually me on the street.
Yeah, luckily, like my Jeep has everything. The shitty rope that Dylan's talking about is not really shitty. It's kind of shitty, but not super shitty.
I mean, if it towed a Jeep.
Yeah, I mean, it's that shitty. It was like from those just-in-case bags.
I mean, it broke when they arrived, so kind of shitty. Yeah, that's a pretty good description.
Listen, motherfucker, you haven't heard anything yet. You haven't heard the story. So here's what happened. We separate paths. And I have the mission to take the Jeep to Escalante, find a mechanic, fix it, and come back to pick up these guys. If the mechanic can fix it, Tanner would just go home with Dave, and then I would just ride back alone. If he doesn't fix it, then we would have a problem. Tanner would have to compromise. I think he had a party going on, like that's the barbecue.
Yeah, he had some kind of party and work. It was really unclear as to why he had to be back that night, but we just knew he had to be back that night.
Not shady at all. I just need to be home.
So we wrap up the Jeep and we start going. Now, I have experience pulling cars and being pulled. Tanner didn't, and that was an issue because everything that he did wrong that compromised my safety, we had to stop, and I would have to kind of coach him on how to avoid that and how to do better, which was many stops.
So I don't know exactly what the difference is because I didn't get the specifics. I just want to point out that Dave, who was riding with Tanner, had very different perspective of the situation.
I don't know his perspective because I think Dave was taking his morning shots of alcohol just to kind of wake up.
Yeah, good old hair of the dog.
Yeah, but I was perfectly sober and ready to survive. But when you're going 30 miles and you're getting pulled and you're just on a dirt road, it's kind of hard. And the brakes don't work really well because the Jeep is dead.
Yeah, you had to pump them, right?
Yeah, it was really, really challenging. And, I mean, you kind of, when you're grabbing curbs really fast, you tend to kind of, like, kind of go sideways and, like, kind of, there was one part in the curve where I literally was like, holy fuck, I can see down there. I'm going there. Nope. Okay. And, you just have to have some certain balance so the rope is not just going on the dirt road. Like, you have to keep your distance so it doesn't drag. But don't have to keep your distance so long that it's gonna break it. So it was a really bad challenge. So we made it out of the dirt road area, and now we have two options. We either go left or we go right. I pull out my GPS. My iPhone X.
We had the GPS.
My iPhone X, and I take a look at Google Maps.
Because, some might call it 10.
Okay, 10. And I see Colorado, Boulder, which is not the city in the state of Colorado. Cameron, it was not Boulder, Colorado.
I'm not debating.
I thought there was confusion before, so I'm just kind of
reassuring. There might have been in the past. Okay. It was clarified also in the past.
There's no reason to bring this.
Just saying.
I think on the way there, me and Tyler saw signs for Boulder, and I was like, are we that close? And he was like, no, it's probably a different Boulder. And I was like, yeah,
we're making it. Literally a very small aside.
Yeah. Anyway, I know that where Boulder is. So my map says if you go left, you will go to Boulder. If you go right, you will go to Escalante. I trust my iPhone X. I mean, I paid $1,000 for it. It's worth the money, right? So
apparently not.
This is a pretty good reason to have not done that.
It literally, like, 2 weeks earlier in Goblin Valley told us to go the wrong direction.
That's another thing about this trip. The GPS, it wasn't reliable at all.
Mm-mm.
Because me and Kyler, it kept taking, like, we would Google Maps to your guys' location when you shared it with us. We went to follow it, and it would just take us back to Escalante. So even me and Kyler drove back another, it was like another 5-minute drive.
The thing is, the Goblin Valley had some mystical magic that
that's true.
Working against technology. Yeah. However, in this part, I had
that's the thing. I work in IT, so that mystical magic working yeah. against IT, that's a real thing.
It checks out. It's really hard to yeah. account for that when you're developing the software.
It checks out.
So, I mean, I had no reason to believe my iPhone would be wrong this time because of that. I mean, we're far away from Goblin Valley. It makes sense. So, I mean, I was like, all right. I didn't trust her judgment very much. I was ready to go. I was very active. I took the leadership and said, all right, let's go.
You were being towed. How did you take the leadership?
Because I was very power active.
Power bottom.
Because I was very aware of my surroundings.
Well, generates all the power.
Well, I took an executive decision and we went right.
So you told them go right and then they went right. So yes. You made this decision.
I made this decision based on my iPhone X.
Again,
it was so easy.
The iPhone that made the wrong decision. Yeah. So for any of you who have Apple products,
just burn it.
Again, I work in IT and I am no way. I am not. We are not looking for Apple as a sponsor. Let's just say that.
Unless it's like the Jazz Apples. Those are sick. Opal, actually. Opal is, man, it's like that mix between green and red, but it's kind of like yellowy. Opal Apples, hit me up.
Do they have a sponsor? Just apples in the general sense? Yeah.
Apples the fruit, which I completely endorse. Yeah. I had one earlier, Granny Smith. Very delicious.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Jesus, what happened after you went with your iPhone?
Okay, so we decided to go right because that's where my iPhone told me where Escalante is. So we go right and we're... And this is like we're going 25 to 30 miles per hour because this is downhill and this is scary and this is curvy and the edge is like the end of the canyon, like you just fall off. So we're going super slow, he's pulling over to let traffic go and it was just a hustle. And also we have to keep the distance to make sure that the rope doesn't break and doesn't drag. So it took us about an hour to get to the town. However, during the ride, I noticed some signs that said Boulder. So, there was no communication because there's no service. So I was like, "All right, I'll just go to Boulder until we stop, and I'll tell them that we're in the wrong town." And we did. We stopped at a gas station. Tanner gets out, and he's like, "Hey, dude, are we in the right town?" I was like, "No, man, we're not."
Seems like it nails Tanner.
Yeah. Bro. After I said, no, we're not. Bro. I need a coffee.
That's what Tanner said, bro. I can imagine.
So.
Oh, man.
So you're in Boulder. You know you're at the wrong place. Tanner dragged you all that way. I don't know what Dave's thinking at that point, but he's probably being aggressive like Dave tends to be. Okay, he's biting a burrito. It's Carlos's, but that's fine.
I'd like to state for the record, he said he would take one bite, and that's his second. He also said he would take one bite, and he then proceeded to berate my burrito with insults. So he's still eating it.
My taxes paid for that.
I pay taxes too!
Whatever. Anyway. It's like, all right, let me pay you for gas, of course, because you pulled me all the way to the wrong town. Let's go back. This is 18 miles, by the way. Let's go back those 18 miles plus another 14 miles to the town where we're supposed to be.
Escalante.
Where hopefully there's a mechanic. And to, of course, because of the dragging of the rope, my rope is not in the best shape right now. I have everything in my Jeep. I have a piece of webbing. So I tried to make some knots and wrap the rope, like giving an extra layer of
rope. So you have the rope and the webbing.
I have a webbing, like the yellow rope for the towing, mm-hmm. and I have webbing.
The purple webbing?
The purple webbing. Yeah. Typically used in climbing and canyoneering. But so I wrapped it around the rope to give it an extra shell. And I was just trying to prolong the life of that rope because it was going to snap very quickly. So I gave some insight to Tanner on how to pull me properly. And it actually worked. Like, he was able to kind of keep it more steady and even and not dragging as much. So that was great. It took us about an hour and a half to get to Escalante. We finally got to the town. We pulled into a gas station. We asked for the mechanic. And it was right behind them. I was like, fuck yeah. So we just need to pull the Jeep around the corner. We went to see if the mechanic was there because it looked closed. Luckily, there was a guy there who was working on his own little project. But we talked to the mechanic. He's like, yeah, I'll help you out, whatever. Just pull it aside. And as we're trying to enter the garage or the parking area for the garage, the rope snaps. Finally. The mechanic is just looking at it, trying to run some tests and everything. It was definitely electrical, as I suspected, because I'm smart. He was just kind of playing and using the internet to figure out what was wrong with it. I was just kind of like just waiting there. He replaced my battery, which was about $86. And then he changed the fuse, and then it turned on after about an hour of that. Turned on, everything felt great. I was so happy. I didn't even mind the $124 that I paid on that. Tanner, as we agreed, is like, well, if it works, then you go pick him up and we'll go home. Sounds fair. Sounds great. I'm ready. I can rock the world. They like left.
More than fair.
Yeah. Tanner and Dave left.
Also, the amount of hubris Zeus has at this point. He's like, I'm invincible. Yeah. I replaced a spark plug and a battery. I'm ready to do anything.
Yeah, basically. I chilled there for a second. I took a nice poop. And okay. I was talking to my girlfriend. So there's a Subway. I ate nice and I cleaned my Jeep actually because fresh. We were covered in, in sand. I cleaned my Jeep a little bit so I can, like.
We already went over that. Okay. Carlos being covered in sand.
And I hit there full of hope and I just drive to the dirt road. That's about 2 miles after I entered the dirt road, my Jeep dies again. This time I'm alone. There is no one around. And I just scream, fuck.
All right, I think this is a good chance, a good spot to transfer to us.
Oh, yeah. So, Jesus, he does all of that. He's in the middle of nowhere. He yells, fuck. He takes another bite of Carlos's burrito. And we're going to go from the beginning of the morning when we head off into the canyon. So we see we have about a mile of road walking, that dirt road.
It's me, Carlos, Dylan, Jordan, and Kyler.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Five people out of nine that went on the actual hike that we planned from the beginning.
So again, the fellowship of the bachelor party. and we split over to the Slot Canyon. We're walking up the road, and maybe 5 minutes in, maybe less, we're on the dirt road and I feel something kind of going weird on my skin. So I think,
audience needs to prepare themselves. This is a bit traumatic. If you have small children, don't be listening to this.
Yeah, it's going to get really graphic at this point. So any small children, any anteaters,
just get them out of the room.
Yeah, just make sure they're out of the room because they're going to be pissed. So I feel something and I lift up my shirt and I see an ant and I think, oh, okay, I need to get it off me. And so right as I go to flick it, I feel a stinging pain in my body and my whole world shakes. I feel the world start to move beneath me. I think things are starting to go black. The outer periphery of my vision is caving in. All I know is that a red ant has just bit me on the abdomen.
He's writing his will on his phone.
Yeah, as fast as he
can. Just so you know, I've broken my ribs before. I have literally broken both of my legs before. And all of those combined were nothing compared to what Dylan is feeling right now.
The world is fading. Everything's going. So I flicked the ant off.
I had to make a call.
Yeah. It was a judgment call, but I think it was the right one at this point. I'm still here. And I look around to everyone, and this is what I say. I think an ant just bit me.
We drop everything.
We all gasp.
We try to make sure he's okay.
Yeah, everyone's like, oh, man, really, where? And it's like, my abdomen, and they say, like, fuck, this is serious.
This is no, we can't just cut off a limb.
Yeah. Are you going to be okay? And I say, it stings. And so we keep walking.
We had no choice at that point. We were about 0.3 miles into the hike.
And we're like,
we couldn't turn back.
We got to push on. There's no turning back.
At this point, we're elbow deep in the hike. So, we keep going. And as we go on, like every 10 minutes, I'm looking around and thinking, guys, this still hurts. I keep mentioning it from time to time. Like, guys, I can still feel that ant bite. And like, dude, that sucks. We keep walking. And eventually I lifted my shirt. And there's this raised red area. An inch of circle on my chest. I will kill every ant I see for the rest of my life after this.
I respect that.
It is insane how it got on your abdomen, of all places.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how, but it got... The thing is I'm wearing kind of a button-up shirt with nothing under it. So it goes up under it. And it gets me. And we keep going, though. And we're checking the instructions from time to time to make sure. Because, again, this is something different from what we did before. And we see we have to do a little bit of climbing. It's not too bad. We're able to get up on top of this plateau, kind of above where we're camped. And from the plateau, we just have to do, like, 2 miles of sand slogging. It's not the worst I've ever done.
It didn't feel that long.
It was about 2 miles.
Was it?
Yeah.
It seemed pretty chill.
No, yeah, it wasn't terrible. It was about 2 miles. But right as we get up there, just because of when everyone woke up, as we're moving, it's already maybe 10-ish. So it's getting later in the day to where it's starting to get hot. And for the most part, getting to the Slot Canyon isn't too bad. But I think in the end, it ultimately contributed to how tired we were by the end with how hot it was.
I mean, when we first woke up, I will just say that it was already very hot. And I knew at that point that, oh man, we probably should have woken up a little earlier because it wasn't that late in the morning.
We woke up at 7. It was fine.
I don't know. We didn't start the hike that early, though.
Oh, yeah, we didn't. Not my fault, though.
But it was still...
Everything else was your fault, not this one thing.
The weather, surprisingly, wasn't your fault. But it was at least already 70 degrees. It just got worse from there.
But eventually we get down into the canyon. We see it gets a little twisty later on, so that's nice. We get ready. We get sunscreen on, whatever. For the most part, we realize the slot isn't going to be super hard. But it's going to be a little bit of a trek because it's pretty long or pretty far from our campsite to the canyon and then back to the campsite. And the whole time, you remember in our first episode of Red Breaks, we did the Cosmic Ashtray. So this whole time we're thinking, okay, at some point we need to be able to get out of here to get over to the Cosmic Ashtray. We're constantly doing a little multiplication to realize how tired we're going to be by the end. Now, the slot at the very beginning is actually pretty tight. It automatically goes to about, you know, maybe a couple inches more than your chest.
So would I have fit?
You would have fit, but you would have been very uncomfortable. Because we were all able to get through just fine, but it was very tight, especially because we're going down as we're going through. And that's one thing you need to keep in mind, too, is that we're going down the canyon. Sometimes people go up, and we actually pass by a few groups of people who are going up the canyon as we're going down.
One guy claimed to be, what, like eight in his 80s or something?
Yeah, yeah, he's like, not bad for 85.
And so that, like, dude, fuck off. Nothing but... Respect/disdain for that.
We get through the really tight parts. It's really pretty in a few parts. We see an insane, like, owl shit waterfall coming down at one point. There's a few chalk stones.
It was beautiful.
Yeah. There's a few chalk stones we have to climb under. We have to climb over. For the most part, because of how chill the canyon is, we're able to just duck right under and keep on our way.
Except.
Yeah.
So right now, we'll let Cameron explain his little minor grievance that right. happened.
Yeah, Cameron.
I'm not gonna make a big deal out of this, but we've talked about like Aaron Ralston before. And honestly, I think I deserve to be in the same breath as him. Because there was a chalkstone. I don't know what it is.
We've been saying chalk on this podcast. Chalkstone. For consistency.
It's just a big boulder that's wedged in the canyon. I faced off with it. I went 1-on-1.
He lost.
You don't know.
We don't know what that chalkstone is doing now.
Yeah, it might have been. Yeah, it might suffer from some PTSD. We don't know.
So at first, you got to think when you're ducking under things and you have a hat on, you can't see it. There's one chalkstone that Carlos and I both hit our heads on the same chalkstone because we can't see it.
Why are you guys
so
learn?
Because I go first and I say, oh, fuck. And then
I heard it. I remember.
Yeah.
Maybe be careful, Carlos.
And I'm like three spots ahead of
Carlos,
him.
Carlos, be careful.
And then I hear, oh, shit. And he hit his head too. But that's fine. We keep going and it's a different stone. Me and Carlos have learned our lesson. We keep our head low. But this chalkstone is different from the first one. This chalkstone is sharp. This chalkstone's a bitch. And so Cameron gets up, and Cameron, how do you feel what happens?
Well, okay. So in any slot canyon, the bottom is pretty narrow. So I was just focusing. Like, I knew the stone was there. It's not like I was oblivious. But I was focused really on my feet because I was trying to put one foot directly in front of the other just to not, like, bend my ankles weird. And I ducked down and everything, but...
You're wearing a hat.
I was wearing a hat. I was wearing a Volcom hat. I should have given me enough protection.
Volcom, please sponsor us.
Volcom, I literally wear a ton of your shit.
Yeah, you have a brim of your hat that makes it really hard to see you in canyoneering. So if you want us to give some sort of other shout out that doesn't involve pain, let us know.
If there's only some way to take the brim of a hat and like put a knot in front of you, that would be amazing.
Yeah,
if only, but how would the sun keep out of your eyes?
Yeah,
I've never figured it out yet.
If you could come up with the rear brim hat.
Somehow to put the brim from the front to the back, I would probably wear
yeah,
it.
Yeah. And then you could give us free ones. You could give us additional cash prizes. Thank you. Okay.
Bandages.
Cameron, why would we need bandages? Tell us.
Because, okay, I was focusing on my feet because I was just trying to navigate the thing and I just didn't take the rock seriously. And so I was just walking. I wasn't like running, but I full speed hit the rock with my head.
What the fuck?
It hurt a lot. I think I yelled, oh, fuck. And I like turned around to Kyler because he was behind me and he walked through it. And I was like, okay, that hurt. Fuck, that hurt. And I took my hat off and like his face just changes from like, huh, oh, and then it was like, oh, wait. And I like ran my hand through what hair I have left. And there's blood all over it. And Kyler's like, oh man, you're bleeding. And I was like, oh shit, this is serious. And I got a little gash in my head. So
I look back and Cameron has like put his hat back on and there's blood running down the side of his face.
I had some toilet paper in my backpack for a whole different reason, but it was really convenient.
It was for pooping.
Yeah, yes. So I just took a big wad of that, and I just literally put it right on top of where I hit my head, put my hat back on, and kind of wedged it against, and I just kept on.
And blood was just running
and
down.
By that time, literally, blood had run down my forehead onto the side of my face.
It's dry.
So Cameron is just bleeding... profusely out of his head.
Let me tell you, that boulder didn't talk any more shit.
Cameron's bleeding everywhere, out of his head, and for whatever reason, he seems to think it's more of a big deal than Dylan here being bit by that ant.
Can you imagine?
I mean, I have a tendency to make things about myself.
I had a red mark. So eventually, we pass a few people. Like Cameron said, we pass people who are quite a bit older. One guy said, not bad for 85 after scrambling up a little bit of rocks.
And I got the pleasure of putting off my hat and saying, watch your head. Yeah. Because I saw the blood dried on the side of my face. It was a fun time.
So we get past them and we eventually get out of the canyon to a rest spot where we're going to chill in the shade before we head out. And we're sitting there and I'm thinking, man, I drank a little bit last night. My head is hurt for like the last 2 hours.
So we're all chilling. We're taking drinks. We're eating some snack stones. Like, man, I have a headache and I I literally just turned around and I was like, oh, really? That'll suck. As like, I have dried blood on the side of my face.
People started laughing like it was a joke. And I'm like, no, my head fucking hurts, man. This sucks. And Kevin has blood coming down his
face. And I'm literally very conscious of like, I gotta remember, if I stop remembering things, we need to take this seriously. Yeah. Because I hit it, I mean, I hit, like, it sounded...
Yeah, you can hear it.
Like, you can hear it was like a thud, like a cantaloupe smacking.
We're thinking it's very possibly as a concussion, and I'm like, man, I have a headache from drinking too much.
And I was literally like, I'm kind of tired, but I know that that's a bad sign. I don't want to fall asleep. I know I can't regardless, but the fact that I want to is kind of sketchy.
And I don't even think about it at all until he mentions like, oh, man, I can only imagine. And then I start laughing really hard. And as we're going, like, maybe an hour later, we're just slogging through the desert. My head starts hurting more. And I think to myself, man, this is like a head-splitting headache. And then I think about it, Hank Cameron. And I start laughing even more to myself.
Your literal life is in the hands of this desert.
We realize eventually, once we get out of the slot, like, it's hot as shit.
It was bad.
We're on the other side of a very far chasm, like hundreds of feet down and hundreds of feet wide from the direction we would need to go to the cosmic ashtray.
The cosmic ashtray was like the thing we went down there for too. And
mm-hmm.
Red Breaks, we had the actual instructions for. Cosmic ashtray, we just had coordinates for.
Yeah, and it was like we could see where we had exited before. Like in the other fork Red Breaks, I saw where we exited, but it's, you know, hundreds of feet across this giant chasm to where we could not get to. Like maybe we could have gone down, up and over, but some people were short on water, not me. Everyone was tired.
I was also fine with the water.
Blood not as good. so we eventually decided not to do it. And the rest of it, like, it can't really be explained just because it's just hours of walking in thick-ass sand, occasionally stopping under trees as the sun is beating down upon us.
Yeah, it seems so
I heard that you guys were thinking of the grapes I was eating.
Yeah. Yes, they're... So in the cooler back at camp, there were... these grapes that were bought for the trip. All we could think of while we were just all miserable, trudging through the hot desert was, man, those grapes are probably really cold and probably pretty refreshing.
Yeah, if you just bite into a grape, it turns straight to
cold. Just want to point out that they were cold. All
right. So we're just going through the sand. Everyone's dead tired. The one person who seems to be a bit of an anomaly is Kyler.
Yeah. Because Kyler is a freak of nature. Yeah. And is literally always 100% full of energy all of the time.
I don't get it.
I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but by the time we finish, by the time we get back to the trailhead, he literally just runs back to camp.
He's like, it's time for a light jog.
And again, the trailhead is a mile away from the actual campsite, so he just, all right, guys, see ya, and then he just runs.
And he was the guy with no water, I believe, right?
Yeah.
He was the one lowest level of water.
But he's perfect on energy, and I think that's the best way to really end it, is that we're going up and down these very steep things because we have to cross canyons to get back. We don't have exact instructions to get out. We're just following coordinates at this point. And Kyler is running up these very steep sandstone cliffs.
He's having fun with it.
Yeah, he's just having a good time. He's like, maybe I'll do a few burpees. I don't know.
And we're not exaggerating like at all. Like that's how Kyler is.
Yeah, I went and ran 5 miles with him earlier this week, and after he just did 30 burpees for fun. And so we're doing that, and we eventually get to the road that our campsite is off to the side of. And Kyler decides to run ahead. And he runs ahead that entire mile. And what he runs into is Jesus butt-ass naked on the top of a rock.
He's just fucking standing rock.
Yeah, it's like a rock that just shoots up a couple feet. that's like a kind of a spire.
Think of the Lion King, right?
Yeah. Like the thing they put Lift Simba on? That's where Jesus was.
Pride Rock.
And not only
but on a much smaller scale.
There's much less pride.
There's a public road that goes right by it, too. Like, Jesus is not giving a shit about anything.
And he's just butt-ass naked on top of it. And
Jesus, why did you... You want to explain?
Well, I mean, are you guys done with your section?
Yeah, where... So... You eventually died, or your Jeep died on the road when you were coming back from Escalante. So how did you go from that situation to your penis hanging out on top of Pride Rock?
Yeah, because after the hike, when we went back to camp, we see Jesus and we're thinking, great, good, he's back, something minus the Jeep. There's no Jeep there.
We have no idea why Jesus is there.
So this old couple... just gonna give me a ride to camp. We were like way past our campsite, but they gave me a nice ride to the camps, to our camp, because I know that Cameron had his car there, and maybe he can give me a ride back. So it was a nice talk. They offered me a beer, and I just sit there, and nobody's there. This is like 3 o'clock. They left around 10. This is a 4 to 5 hour hike. So I thought they should be here soon. So I just sit there. Carlos's tent is in the middle of nowhere. So I'm productive. I start like grabbing his shed, fixing it, and I'm putting the cooler in the shade and just gonna kind of clean it up a little, looking for Cameron's key so I can just grab the car and peace out. And
I took them with me.
I was gonna come back.
It was just the breaking down that I was afraid of.
But they were not there, so I thought, of course, he fucking took him. There was like it was super hot, so I just decided to get into my swimming suit, which is a Speedo, and I was just kind of hanging out in the sun. I was just sitting down, really, like I was just gonna like I rode a little, and then I was just gonna. Waiting for them. I read the instructions like 3 times. And I thought, and like when you're in those moments, when you're in the middle of nowhere and there's no one there, you're thinking, what if something went wrong? And that was like a hint of panic hit me. It's like, because I took that rattlesnake poison sucker thing. And I was like, what if someone got bitten by a rattlesnake and
You had the thing that would suck the poison
like
out.
The medical kit. I had a medical kit. I didn't think if you guys took it or not. So I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, what if Cameron? I was just thinking Cameron was gonna be the victim. To be honest,
I don't know why I didn't think that. I'm the only one that went face to face with the boulder and came out.
No, I actually thought that Cameron.
Wish I could have sucked the ant venom out.
Yeah, it was my bad. So I thought that Cameron, because I'd read the instructions, it's like, wow, there is some climbing, there's some stemming. I thought that Cameron would fall and get stuck. And
I'm just incompetent. <in his eyes. laughs>
You're a little more fragile. It's like,
I survived.
So I'm just kind of freaking out, and I'm like, no, it'll be fine. They got Jordan, and they got Carlos, and Dylan and Kyler, he can do push-ups and
everybody would carry. They can just carry me.
Everyone useful but Cameron.
Like
I did everything they did once. Okay, I was the hardest worker.
Actually, he was. Because so I was like, you know what? It's getting too hot. Maybe I'll take my boxers off. I mean, God knows I could use a little tan on my butt and penis.
God knows.
Like, I just decided to take my boxer stuff. There were a couple of cars that just kind of stopped by, and I just kind of covered myself by the boulder, which is about 4.5 feet tall.
It wasn't a bad size boulder. It was literally like...
It was big. It was like up to my chin.
Yeah, you could hide behind it.
And I was just kind of standing behind it and just watching those people, and I was like, should I ask for help? Or is this me?
I lost all my clothes!
But at the same time, I don't have clothes on. I was just like, all right, I'll just kind of keep it chill for another hour. They should be back soon. Yeah, I mean, I get on that boulder a couple times because I can see the trail, like closer to the trail, like the trail better, basically.
So vantage point.
And
the 4 foot tall
bull. Yeah, I mean, I use my elven eyes so I can see farther. And all of a sudden, in one of those, I mean, I'm eating the grapes. I'm just kind of reading a little. Just
living the life of luxury. Yeah,
just tanning myself, you know. I'm scavenging too because I was looking for something that we
like 5 hours since you read the mail and you're like, oh god,
it's a full ass cooler there.
No, I'm scavenging I was getting a tan on, but I couldn't stand there, just sit there. So I just started walking around the desert and looking for something I could use to pull the jeep. Incidentally, I did find a wire rope thing, which was.
Like a metal
sign. So I was all right, that's a nice mine. And then I get on the boulder again, and I look at the trail, and I see Kyler, just as I expect. I literally expected him to be running. So I see him running here, and then I just get really excited. So I start jumping on the boulder and, shaking my arm. And
shaking his penis.
Shaking the arm. Not even the hand.
Well, of course, the penis is going to be bouncing, too.
So, can I interrupt real quick?
Yeah.
Kyler couldn't make it. He wanted to come, but it was just too late for him.
Yeah.
And he said, it's fine, as long as you cover 3 things. He said, 1, that it was all Jesus' fault. 2.
Check.
That we were on the brink of disaster the whole time.
Yes.
And 3, that I have now seen Jesus' dick 2 times too many. And that's all he had to contribute.
Maybe it'll be a 3rd time. I don't
know. Oh, I'm sure there will be.
So he ran down and saw Jesus butt-ass naked on top of the rock. And apparently as soon as Jesus saw Kyler, he freaked out and jumped off the rock, seeing someone running down.
No, I saw a car
behind. Okay, the car.
Yeah, so it's okay.
It was just Kyler. Jesus would be what's up, bro? Welcome to the campsite.
So the boys arrived, and they were they looked miserable. It's a camera miserable, just as I expected.
I mean, I still had my hat on, so Jesus didn't even know what trauma I had experienced.
Yeah, and plus my shirt was buttoned, so I couldn't see my amp bite.
That's true.
And also, the headache, the silent killer, you can't see.
So, yeah, I mean, the jeep was broken in the middle of the road. There was nothing to do. It was around 5 o'clock, and I told Cameron that we need to go into town so I can ask the mechanic what he fixed and how I can fix it.
At this point,
we're all tired.
Cameron looks like he's about to just kill Jesus.
Fucking dead. And I get back to camp, and all I want to do is sit down in the shade and have one beer. And Jesus is like, we got to go into town. We don't know when the mechanic's going to leave. I was just like, Jesus, check it out. I took my hat off, and he's like, oh, fuck. Are you okay? And I was like, it probably looks worse than it is. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, but he was fine. He drove just fine. He was getting a little dizzy somewhere, but he was fine.
Yeah, I was managing. It was me, was it you, me, and Jordan that went into town?
Yeah.
And we made it into town. Freaking Chevy handled it like it was nothing. The whole time, Jesus was like, go slow, go slow. Jesus was not fucking around with any.
No, dude, I was just.
He's like, we have one car left. You're going to take care of it.
So, Chevy, sponsor us and we'll say your famous catchphrase. Isn't about time.
Wait, is that really their
No. Yeah, because it's about time for the Chevy. So it is.
Maybe we'll get in a commercial with that guy who does all those tests with those non-actors.
Yeah. That sounds great. I want to be a non-actor actor. That sounds like the only type of actor I'll ever be.
So we get into town. He tells me what he fixed, which is, incidentally, the auto shutdown.
If you happen to have a Jeep,
sell it right now.
for whatever reason, Jesus learns of this auto shutdown feature that I'm not too sure on the specifics. We tried to look it up a little bit, but apparently when a Jeep, an off-road vehicle, when the road becomes a little too bumpy, apparently, there's this, again, it's called an auto shutdown feature. So, as you can probably infer from the name, if the fuse where that's connected to burns out, the Jeep will just shut itself down.
Automatically.
So, again, an off-road vehicle driving on this dirt-ass bumpy road decides that it's too bumpy. And just, nope, not going to do it anymore. And then it just shuts itself down.
As soon as he replaces the auto shutdown fuse and he gets a couple extra, just in case anything happens along the way. On our way back. So we're trying our best, really, to make sure that we can get back without any problem.
Well, yeah, so I took him back into town.
Yeah.
So just to count, I went on the wrong road first time for 30 minutes. Went out that way 30 minutes, went back 30 minutes. Got to the campsite, 30 minutes. Back 30 minutes to take Jesus back to town. We got back to town. Jesus got his spark plugs. I couldn't drive back because I was tired and I was dizzy because I have a split in my head. So Jordan drives back the other 30 minutes. We get Jesus' Jeep running, right?
Yep, right at the entrance. And I did not want to fuck around that time. So I decided to just leave it at the entrance.
So, no, yeah, we got it running. And it was by our campsite again, kind of, right? It was like, it wasn't right at the entrance because we had to follow you back.
No, the Jeep, it was 2 miles.
It was like almost
right at
the entrance.
At the entrance,
yeah.
Like right where the dirt road started.
That's where you left his Jeep. Where you left.
Yeah.
Because we barely had to go on dirt road at all when we left.
It was like maybe.
So Cameron was concussed.
I'm literally not remembering.
Right now.
So they get Jesus' Jeep turned on and started.
Yeah, and that was, where was your Jeep broken down at?
2 miles in the entrance of the dirt road. I did not make
so
it
Hayes,
more than two miles.
Two miles, though, is like, that's...
Yeah, and we turn around, remember
yeah,
the camper guy.
Okay, right back to the beginning. The decision we made was,
we're gonna
get you back to the main road and then stop.
Yeah.
So we got you back.
Yes.
So that's...
No, but that was 2 miles. That was not 30 fucking minutes.
It's still a lot. Dude,
that was 10 minutes.
2 miles is a long time on that road.
That's true. So anyway, I don't give a shit about time.
I do, because I spent like 5 hours on that stupid-ass road trying to get us back and forth.
This isn't all about you. I got bit by a gnat.
Yeah, bitch.
So they come back. We make breakfast for dinner because we didn't have a really crazy breakfast that morning just because of all the things that needed to be figured out. So we had breakfast for dinner, which was very good. Everyone eats their fill. We drink the rest of the beers. And then we think, okay, in the morning, we need to get going. We actually need to load all of our stuff into Cameron's car. Cameron needs to drive us to Jesus' Jeep, drive back to the campsite to load up his stuff, and then leave.
So I got to do that road, that dirt road. It took about 30 minutes. I think I did that road 6 times, maybe 8.
Again, thank you, Chevy.
And I never wanted to be on that road again. If you guys go back to that to try to leave the Cosmic Ashtray for a second, I'm just, nope.
It won't be the same road, just know
it
that.
Probably will be.
Because I'll change the coordinates again. So
we wake up in the morning, we get everything packed, we get over to Jesus' Jeep. On our way, actually, there, we find Cameron's missing hubcap.
God is real.
I think Jordan actually pointed out. He's like, dude, is that your hubcap?
Yeah. I mean, we've been driven that road literally like 6 times. I didn't see it. Then one time it just magically appears.
Yeah, so he finds it, and then we get it. That's very great. We start off down the road. We go hours. We go 4 to 5 hours. We get all the way to Lehigh, which is 40 to 45 minutes away from our destination. And the construction gets really wild there. Like, the lanes are really small, they're crossing the rumble strips, and eventually the Jeep has to cross several rumble strips at once. And as that happens, there's no shoulder on the side of the road because of the construction, and the Jeep fucking dies on the freeway.
So, again, we have a Jeep, off-road vehicle, going through a little patch of rumble strips on the side of the road. And at this point, the whole drive has been fine. We think we're good. We're going to make it back A-okay. And we drive along this small patch of rumble strips. Jesus, all of a sudden, turns around and tells us all, guys, the Jeep just died.
We're coasting.
At this point, we're just like, oh, fuck.
Like, this sucks, but we have extra fuses.
Yeah, so as Dylan mentioned, there's no shoulder because of the construction. So we pull off to the very right lane of the road, and eventually the Jeep comes to a stop. We get out. Jesus attempts to replace the fuse.
No, here's what happened. Jordan is on the passenger seat. I'm on the wheel, of course. We're on the middle of the fucking rain on the right side. There's no shoulder. Traffic is coming because there's
sounds
construction.
Very similar to what...
But I was not changing the fuse. I'm just focusing on the fact that I need to flash my brakes because people are not seeing that I'm dead on the road. People are just not seeing it and they're just like getting behind me and I'm just worried. Like, holy fuck, if someone does not see me, we're dead. Like,
I mean, it was the middle of the day, so I'd be very surprised if someone didn't see the Jeep just stuck in the middle of the road. Well, but people were still honking at us. Yeah, yeah. We decided to just take a small break because we were tired of driving.
Did you notice that? I was so annoyed.
We're looking at Carlos and I were back there while you're trying to change the fuse and people were honking. Like, what the fuck? Like, we didn't just stop here for lunch.
Yeah. No, but Jordan is trying to change the fuse, but he told me not to lose some tweezers that pulled the fuses out, and I told him I don't have it.
So, actually, what I am pretty sure happened was while we were cleaning up camp, I had found these metal-looking things at the campsite, and I'm like, what the fuck are these? How did these even get here? Come to realize that those were the tweezers that were in Jesus's Jeep to pull out the fuses. So somehow, the little tweezers for the fuses had, I don't know, dropped on the ground and made it near our campfire because that's where they were.
God is real.
And I picked them up and I was like, oh, well, this is something really random and I don't know what these are for, but they're obviously garbage. So I just threw them and left them on the floor.
Well, because of that, the tweezers were not there.
Your fucking tweezers. It should have been in your Jeep.
And I was like, I don't have them. Jordan asked me, where are they? I need to pull it out. I don't know. Like, I don't have them. While I'm flashing.
Game week, Jordan.
Yeah, well, I'm fucking flashing the brakes and hoping that they don't hit us. Because
you have your hazards on, I hope.
Yeah, I had them, but it was like, I was just not having it. So, Jordan asked me again, where are they? I don't have them. 2 minutes later, well, where are they? It's like, Jesus Christ, just a knife. 2 minutes later, where are they? I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I exploded on him. I grabbed my fucking knife because I have everything in my Jeep except tweezers. And then I literally grabbed I just managed to get it out and it like broke. So I gave two backup fuses to Jordan. He plugged it in. I was like, right, let's turn it on and get the fuck out. I turn it on and it dies immediately. So I was like, fuck, all right, it's a fuke.
Fuse is blown away.
Yeah, so it's like, all right, let's try it again. Here's my last one. It should work now. I'm going to take it easy and I'm going to wait 3 seconds.
Also, you got one of those fuses for my car, right?
I didn't grab it.
Oh, you never did?
No.
Oh, cool, that's good. I have an extra fuse.
Maybe.
Because my Chevy was so clutch, it had the exact fuse that Jesus needed as an extra fuse. Like, I didn't even need it.
Yeah.
But Jesus didn't take it, apparently. I thought he did.
Maybe it did. I don't know. Maybe it did it and it blew up as well.
I think that was one of the extras we had was yours and it's blown out.
Yeah.
I don't need it.
Anyway, 3 for 3, and they didn't work. And now panic set in. Because it's 11:45. I have work at 1:45. We're 45 minutes away, and my Jeep is in the middle of the road of the freeway and causing traffic. So I didn't even see this guy, like, pull in front of me. It was a little focus. And he's like, you want me to pull you, man? Like, yeah. And luckily, I kept the rope. I did a fisherman knot again, tied it to his little focus, and he was able to pull me all the way to the side of the road. And that's when I was like, all right, this is the time to call my boss.
For all that work and stress.
Yep. To avoid that, it had to happen. Call my boss, call the insurance company, called everyone, my girlfriend, and I called my parents. I got an Uber, and I went to work from then and there. And
so
I was stinky, 3 days without showering.
So Jesus' girlfriend comes and picks us up while he Ubers off to work. We're going to go ahead and do our best to cut it right here so we can go to sleep on account of I'm getting married tomorrow. but basically, you just real quick from the beginning, Jesus doesn't realize the days of the week. He gets his oil changed on the wrong day. They decide to also do all of his recalls at that same point. We leave 4 hours too late. Tanner's tire pops. The coordinates are different from before. Jesus's Jeep dies as we go to get Cameron. We split off into a different canyon we've never been into before. Jesus goes to Boulder instead of Escalante. Jesus's Jeep dies on the way back from Escalante. Cameron has to take Jesus there after splitting his head open. They have to leave his Jeep there. Cameron has to take an extra trip to go back and forth to shuttle us to Jesus's Jeep. Jesus's Jeep dies in Lehi.
And Dylan got bit by an ant.
And the ant destroyed everything. All of this is just a bunch of little tiny sticks on top of each other. The ant fucking lit on fire.
It was a fire ant.
Yeah, it's a fire ant, bitch. Actually, it hurt. So this is going to be chapter 6, which is the bachelor party, Red Breaks Part 2, or the fucking bachelor disaster. I don't know what else to call it. It's fine. The wedding's still happening. Yeah. I don't know how that would have prevented it unless I died.
Yeah. I honestly think that all the shit that happened made it more memorable than everything happened without a hitch.
Yeah, like I'm going to remember it for sure now. Like if someone said, oh, actually this is what happened. I went into work the next morning on Monday. Or Tuesday, actually, because it was Memorial Day. And they said, hey, how's your bachelor party? And I said, memorable.
That's what I was aiming for.
So. Saying, like, someone's like, how's your hike thing? And I was like, we didn't even get to where we were, like, originally planning to go. And I split my head open. it was fun to talk to people about it, at least.
Yeah. And there's a few things we really are going to get out of it, and that's a few sponsors that I know we're going to sign in by the end of this. So, Jeep, you lost us in the middle of the road several times, and honestly, I think you're going to probably be liable unless you sponsor us. So this isn't legal action. It's just really an inkling in my soul as someone who's eventually going to be in law school. Sponsor us, or maybe there will be trouble. I don't know. I don't have any expertise. Please don't say this is a legal thing.
Chevy, though.
Chevy. You got us through. You were the fucking champion. 4Runner died.
There's a 4Runner. There's a Jeep, and then there's a Chevy Cobalt.
Yeah, Chevy Cobalt.
And the Chevy Cobalt pulled through.
We lost a hubcap, and that one single thing was recovered.
I don't know how we missed it the, like, 8 times I drove that road.
No, it's because we were looking, but 2 seconds later, we stopped looking for it.
Yeah, every time we got in the car, we're like, all right, we keep an eye out. And then, like, we started on the road, and I was like, this is bumpy. I don't have time to look for a hook yet.
Then the very last thing I want to endorse, genocide of red ants.
I'm up for that.
Yeah.
So don't provide a
function. I really hope that as soon as I said genocide, everyone, like, shirked away from the mic. But I hope that as I said red ants, you're like, oh, okay, I can get behind that. Okay. Red ants, you're going down. We're on the lookout for you. We know your fucking game now. We know you're trying to glow up shirts. We know you're trying to fuck us up. We're not playing by that shit anymore. We got you.
Mine, Dylan, is making gang signs for some reason as he's saying all of this.
We're also very opposed to choke stones. Chalk stones.
Choke.
The bad ones.
I thought you already... You were saying that, like, you put it in its place.
I did, but I'm just saying they better not step up again. I'm about to come at them hard.
The streets.
better not step up to the streets. I'm about to... get a scar on the other side of my head.
So, not here. We have Dave, we have Tanner, we have Kyler, we have Jordan. They were all here. They played integral roles. We put them in here. Maybe they want to speak up for themselves later. I'm Dylan. We also have Carlos, Jesus, and Cameron, who were all able to make it for this podcast. This has been Chapter 6, The Bachelor Party.
Hey, wait. The Patreon. We got to plug the Patreon.
Into the darkness.
You didn't think of anything new. That's the sermon.
I had a good Patreon plug. Is this still going?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, the Patreon. Jesus and Dylan have heard your pleas, fans. And they've decided to go international. We're starting a GoFundMe. So Jesus and Dylan can go internationally and do these hikes where they might die. You provide us with the means to create new content.
Yeah.
So donate at our Patreon.
I want to accept this, but we don't have a Patreon.
One day they'll get one.
We're going to have to create one.
This will all be relevant at some point retroactively.
Okay, do we have any other subtitles, or Jesus, is that it?
Wild Times of the Bachelor.